Accession number 17688, Reel 1.
Mr. Phillips, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in at Cashel in County Tipperary.
Which year was this?
1929.
Are your ancestors Irish?
Yes.
But did you have British nationality or Irish nationality?
I had Irish nationality originally, as I was born in Ireland, and both my mother and father were born in Ireland.
Did you grow up and have your education in County Tipperary?
No, I had my education, apart from a very brief period at the beginning of the war, for 4 or 5 months I was educated in Ireland, but the rest of the time, from 1935 onwards, I was educated in either Scotland or England.
Whereabouts?
In Scotland, in Ayrshire, in a place called Alloway at a prep school, and then at Wellington in Berkshire.
At what stage did you get British nationality?
I got British nationality after I joined the regiment in Gibraltar in 1949, when I wanted a passport to go across the border into Spain. I found I couldn't get a British passport until I got the necessary papers from the Home Office to get British nationality.
During the Second World War, did you experience any bombing by the German Air Force?
Yes, in the latter part of 1940, I was staying in London, and during the holidays, in both the summer and the Christmas holidays, and then towards the end of the war, I was in London during the V2 and V1s for periods of a week, fortnight, sometimes a little longer.
Did you have any narrow escapes from the bombing?
No. I mean, the bombs fell around about, but in no way was one worried by them. It was just rather interesting because one didn't really know the side effects.
What was your address in London?
At the beginning of the war, it was in Queen's Gate, and then towards the end of the war, it was in Barnes.
Which of those two areas got the worst bombing?
I would have thought probably Kensington.
How do you think public morale stood up to the bombs?
One didn't notice any particular low morale. And for example, I remember going up to, my father died in Ireland in August 1940, and our family solicitors were in the city by St. Paul's, and I remember having to go up there in the autumn see the solicitor just after the first big raid on the city, and it was still closed, many of the streets, because of fires and blockages, and morale seemed to be really very reasonable.
In view of the fact that Ireland was neutral in the war, to what extent did your family consider it was their war, as it were?
Well, as my father had been in the British Army and had been at Mons and been captured and wounded at Mons and then repatriated through Switzerland in 1917 because of his disabilities, and my mother was serving in the Fannies in the Second World War, one felt that, you know, one was Anglo-Irish as opposed to Irish.
Did you get involved with any of the services in the war, such as the Home Guard?
No, I mean, I was in the Corps at school, but I didn't get into the Home Guard as I was too young.
What was the attitude of your family towards Irish neutrality?
I don't remember it ever really being discussed. I had a certain relations who were in the British Army, one particular uncle who I used to stay with during the war, who felt very strongly about the subject, because he felt that the Irish should not have been neutral, and he didn't like it one little bit, but in the main it was accepted.
How did you come to be in the army yourself?
In 1946, when I was coming up to leaving school during the following year, I couldn't be called up for national service because I was an Irish citizen, and I had no intention of volunteering for the army for 5 years, and I was originally going to go into the Palestine police for 2 years, which one was allowed to do, and they then brought out the army exam, and it was suggested that I might like to take the army exam, which I had no feelings one way or the other, but I took the army exam, which was the first intake from school, and I passed it, and I then joined the army in 1947, having done basic training for 4 months in the north of Ireland from April to August, and then I went to Sandhurst in September 1947.
Was there any IRA problem in Northern Ireland in 47?
No, one had security on the barracks, but there was no IRA problem that I remember.
What do you feel about your period at Sandhurst?
From the point of view of the training and enjoyment, I thoroughly enjoyed my time at Sandhurst, which in those days, if I remember rightly, was 18 months. One did 3 terms. The first term was extremely hard work, and the other 2 terms one thoroughly enjoyed.
And when you finished, what happened to you then?
When I finished, I had to nominate a regiment, and I was originally an Irish Fusilier, but I had a great friend who was also an Irish Fusilier, and it appeared that there was only going to be one vacancy in the regiment, and he was obviously going to pass out much higher than I was going to. And if you missed your first choice, you found that you went right down to the bottom of the pile, and someone suggested to me that would I like to join the Northumberland Fusiliers, because there were going to be one vacancy in the intake that was passing out at the end of 1948. And I must admit, I'd never been to either Northumberland or Newcastle in my life, but I made a few inquiries, and I liked the thought of the regiment, and I then agreed to change to become a Northumberland Fusilier. But I didn't know anyone in the regiment, and I had never been in this part of the world.
Where did you serve with the Fusiliers at first?
I went out to join the battalion, the 1st Battalion, which at that time was stationed in Gibraltar, in the end of January, beginning of February 1949. And I served in Gibraltar until September 1949, when I came back to the School of Infantry on a course.
What was service like in Gibraltar in those days?
bearing in mind that one had not been abroad in the war, and it was really one's first experience of being outside the United Kingdom, it was interesting for a short period of time. But although the border with Spain was open at that time, you hadn't much chance of getting across, and one spent most of the time on the rock, which was pretty claustrophobic.
Could you do much training there?
Very limited amount. There was a rifle range, and you could do a limited amount of training, but it was mainly duties on the frontier or parades or general training, but no field training.
Was there at that time any friction with the Spanish authorities?
Not that I remember. The it was, I mean, after all, only 10 years after the end of the Spanish Civil War, and Spain was still very backward, and they were perfectly friendly, and one had no trouble with the Spanish authorities, unless one found that some one's soldiers, if they were taken over on a day out and they got into trouble, they could be fairly severe if they got put into prison for the night. But Spaniards in the main were extremely pleasant.
How and when did you come to leave Gibraltar?
I left Gibraltar because I came home on a course, and then the battalion was moved back to England at the end of 1949, beginning of 1950, to take over as the training battalion at the School of Infantry, which was meant to be a 2-year posting.
And then, after that?
Were the demonstration battalion at Warminster, and then the Korean War started in June 1950, and by that time it was decided to send a independent brigade out to Korea, and we were moved from Warminster to join 29 Brigade, and one of the battalions, I think it was the Beds and Hearts, took our place at Warminster, if my memory serves me right. And our battalion, which had a large number of national servicemen, we lost all the national servicemen unless they were prepared to sign on for an additional period of service. And we were reinforced by reservists and K volunteers, who were volunteers for the Korean War, who were prepared to go out to Korea. And so overnight, we lost all our national servicemen, and then got in as replacements reservists and volunteers to make our numbers up.
How did you feel about being involved in the Korean War?
As far as I was concerned, I think I felt that it was a fair war, and secondly, it was a more interesting the prospects of going to the Far East and remaining at Warminster for 2 years.
Could you enlarge on what you mean by a fair war, please?
Well, Korea southern Korea had been invaded by the North, the United Nations, because the Russians had, if I remember rightly, decided to not to vote. The Security Council wasn't vetoed, and it was decided to send a United Nations force into Korea to protect the South against what was virtually the communist North.
To what extent had you been following events in Korea?
Until the invasion of Korea, the only thing I knew about Korea was that I understood that the worst guards from the Japanese prisoner of war camps were the Koreans, but I knew nothing at all about Korea apart from that.
How did you get out there?
We went on a troop ship from Southampton to Busan, which I think took something over 5 weeks. HMT Hallidale.
What was the voyage like?
It was very, very pleasant. The ship was very well run by the crew, and they were obviously out to make our voyage as comfortable as possible, which wasn't very comfortable. We were in cabins. I think 8 of us were in a officers in a cabin which was pretty crowded, but it wasn't anything like what the troop decks were, which were extremely crowded and below the waterline, and they're unpleasant, but I mean, it was an enjoyable voyage, because one was 5 weeks, and one was trying to train up and keep fit, because one knew one was going to action fairly quickly after arriving in Korea, although towards the end of the voyage it looked as if the war was going to be over, as the Incheon, MacArthur had landed in Incheon and was sweeping up towards the Yalu River with what appeared to be the North Koreans in complete disarray. And we felt, or certainly some of us felt, that perhaps we were arriving for the victory celebrations as opposed to having to fight.
What was the morale like amongst the troops on the way there?
The problem was that when we got the reservists in, they were all extremely experienced, having been originally on a 12-year five with the colours and seven reserve, or seven with the colours and five reserve, I can't remember. And a lot of them were coming up towards the end of their 12-year period. And how the War Office or the Personnel Department selected them, I'm not sure that there was much thought put into it, because a number of these men were coming up towards the end of their 12 years. Certainly two of them who I got in my platoon had been Japanese prisoner of war, and I thought it was not really a very brilliant idea to send them out to fight in the Far East again. And morale, under those circumstances, were very good. But until they were put on the boat, they were obviously in the mail. A lot of them were trying to get out of going, and they would try every ploy they could think of. And I mean, one, as a fairly inexperienced and comparatively young second lieutenant as I was then, and most of us platoon commanders were totally inexperienced, to have reservists who had fought through the 1939-45 war and had, in some cases, two rows of campaign medals, one felt it was a difficult problem. As soon as they were put on the boat and they knew they were going, their whole attitude, they accepted it, and one was extremely fortunate to have a lot of very experienced soldiers who couldn't have been more cooperative, and the morale was good.
What kind of ploys were they attempting to avoid service in Korea?
Well, health, compassionate grounds of family and businesses. One particularly unintelligent man in my platoon arrived back from his embarkation leave and said he wanted to see the company commander. And I said, why? And he said he was hoping to get a discharged. And I said, why? And he said he'd seen his MP. And I said, well, how did you get in touch with your MP? Because I hardly think he knew very much about MPs and the political situation. His answer was, well, actually, he's my brother-in-law. And obviously the pressure was brought to bear, and he didn't come out to Korea with us. But why he was discharged, I don't know, except questions had been asked at parliamentary levels.
What was your own job in the battalion?
Platoon commander.
Which platoon and which company were those?
I was in I was platoon commander of 9 platoon in Y Company.
What impressions of Korea did you have on arrival?
The first impression one got as one pulled into Busan was pretty run down. Dockside with an American band belting out music to greet us, and which was quite amusing. And I regret to say, a number of the troops threw them pennies, and then we landed, and we then were put on a train up to Kaesong, which took about 4 or 5 days, and it was the place smelt. It was beginning to get very cold. It was really very run down country.
Was there much devastation?
Certainly not in Busan. As one went up and got beyond the perimeter of the fighting, which had come down into the Busan perimeter, there was a certain amount of devastation along the railway line. But it didn't really hit one at that time.
What happened to you at Kaesong?
We were put into a mission school, the battalion, and we were waiting for our transport to arrive, and we were training up on the 38th parallel on the hills above Kaesong, waiting to get all our heavy equipment. And initially, we were, as I say, we thought the war was practically over, because MacArthur and the Americans had got as far as the Yalu, and then suddenly one got a nasty feeling that not quite everything was going right. And again, I mean, one, I don't think knew positively, but one must have heard that the Chinese had started entering the war, but until this time one imagined it was purely North Koreans, and then suddenly one realized that something was going awfully wrong north of us. And the first experience we had was when suddenly we were told that we were to move up to a village called Sibyeon-ni, which was in North Korea, which I think was probably about 30 miles above the parallel, and because there was there were either guerrillas or leftover North Korean forces causing trouble, and we were moved up there one afternoon, and then that evening we were attacked by a force of guerrillas and regulars, I don't know, and we were up there for 2 or 3 days and had a number of casualties.
So was this the North Koreans or the Chinese who were attacking you?
I think it was a mixture.
What form did the attack take?
It took the form of being attacked at night by what appeared to be a considerable number of infantry. There wasn't any artillery. They didn't have any artillery, but we were obviously... there were a fair number of people, I mean a large number, and but this was night rather than during the day.
Did they have mortars?
Not that I experienced. Or one experience was either rifles or automatic fire or grenades.
Did the attack take you by surprise?
The answer is yes. One knew there was trouble in the area, but one didn't realize that it was quite as bad as it turned out to be. One was, it was extremely cold and it was extremely difficult to dig, and one arrived, again, if my memory serves me right, before it got dark, but one had little time to prepare one's position, and then one was surprised by the force of the attack during the night.
How long did the attack go on for?
Through hours of darkness.